It really is a good morning. Rise and shine, Delaware Valley. Time to wake up. I'm Gary Zimek. This is Spirit in the Morning. Great to be here with you once again. Today's a special day. We celebrate All Souls Day today. We're going to talk about that throughout the hour. Now, I want you to relax. It's not going to be depressing. We're going to really talk about it like it really is. This is an uplifting day, believe it or not. We're going to explore some of the popular myths about purgatory. A lot of people don't understand what purgatory really is. We'll also take a look at the recent proclamation by the Vatican on cremation. I know this is sounding really uplifting, right? Trust me, this is going to be good. Just hang in there. We're going to really clear up some of the misconceptions and try to lift you up, start your day off the right way. Got some great music for you. Be looking at the gospel verse from Daily Mass. Also, we have the Be Not Afraid Bible verse coming up at 7:50. Right now, what I'd like to do, as I do every day, is get us kicked off with St. Augustine's prayer to the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Breathe in me, O Holy Spirit, that my thoughts may all be holy. Act in me, O Holy Spirit, that my work too may be holy. Draw my heart, O Holy Spirit, that I love but what is holy. Strengthen me, O Holy Spirit, to defend all that is holy. Guard me then, O Holy Spirit, that I always may be holy. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I always feel better when I ask the Holy Spirit's help to do this program. He really is our program director. Sometimes we like to think we're in charge here at Holy Spirit Radio, but we're called Holy Spirit Radio for a reason. He is in charge. Well, I've got a special guest in the studio today. By the way, keep the prayers coming for Dave Parker, my sidekick. He is recuperating. If you missed it, we had him on the air yesterday. He expects to be in sometime later in the week, but keep sending prayers Davey's way. He could really use them. He's doing much better, and it'll be great to have him back in the studio. But today I'm extra blessed because I'm joined in the studio by good friend, Deacon Rich Napoli.
Good morning, Gary. Thank you for having me.
Hey, are you awake yet?
Getting there. Usually I'm still just having my breakfast around this time, but this is, you're wide awake. That's
yeah,
for sure.
I have a long drive, so by the time I get here, I'm really wired and fired up. Deacon Rich, you are a regular. You're an original from the station. You've been here from the beginning?
Right? Almost. Close? Well, because not quite the beginning, because at the time this went on the air, I was still an atheist.
That's right.
But certainly this station was a big part of my conversion, and many of our listeners have heard that story several times. But yeah, this station is so powerful, and it's, as you said, it's the Holy Spirit there who's in charge, and he has just done an outstanding job. And you know, the messaging that comes out from this station, both from its local programming and from EWTN, it's just life changing. And Janet's, my wife's life has been changed, my life, our kids' lives, and now everyone that we touch, and we're just one life that's been changed. We get letters, as you know, from all over the country, all over the world sometimes, about the impact that Holy Spirit Radio has had on them. So it's just a delight to be here, and I love this station.
It's incredible, as do I, but I'm sure there are more than one set of ears perked up when you said you were an atheist when you first heard the station. How incredible is that? Now you're a permanent deacon at St. Andrew's Parish?
Yeah, assigned to St. Andrew's, from St. Vincent's Parish, but assigned to St. Andrew's, and love it there. It's a big, vibrant, beautiful parish. But yeah, no, and listen, God's got a sense of humor, I think. If you told me 20 years ago I'd be sitting here doing this kind of stuff, I would have laughed at you. Would have been impossible. But, you know, in some ways I use my journey helping others. A lot of times at St. Andrews, people come up to me and say, Deacon Rich, you know, my brother's an atheist, my husband's an atheist, my son's an atheist, my daughter's an atheist, whatever. And, you know, would you talk to them? And I do, and I do. Right. And you know, somehow, because of my journey, I think I can relate maybe a little bit better to what they're feeling right now, what they're thinking, and put it in their words, and just make them realize there is another way of thinking.
Yeah.
And it's a journey. It doesn't happen. There's no light bulb that goes on overnight and like an epiphany.
Yeah.
It's a slow journey of the soul. And so I use that sort of my journey as a way to help others on their journey.
And it's so helpful because there are a lot of people who are in the shoes you used to be in, and they're searching, and this is one of the ways that we could reach out and touch them over the airwaves like this.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, my dad was an atheist and died an atheist, but he would always listen to TV shows and radio shows, almost like please, somebody convince me otherwise.
Wow. You know?
And, and just searching and searching. So, yeah, this radio station is a way for people to do that.
And that's what we're here for. That's what we want to do. We are here to get your day started off the right way throughout the hour. Deacon Rich and I are going to be talking about some of these concepts. All Souls Day, Rich, it's a tough concept. A lot of times death is a scary thing.
It can be. I mean, and I heard you earlier on the Sunrise Morning Show and just talking about it. And it's a sad day for those of us that are here,
right?
And certainly mourning the earthly passing of our loved ones. But we, you know, I think All Souls Day invites us to remind ourselves that, you know, we're you know, the ones that have gone before us are in a beautiful place. You know,
right.
Whether in purgatory or in heaven,
exactly,
they are, you know, going to be facing or already facing the Lord in a beatific vision. Their lives are so infinitely better than ours. It's hard to sometimes mourn for the person, because if you really know where they're going, why are you mourning? You know, you might mourn yourself, but don't mourn them.
Exactly.
Don't mourn them. They're having a ball.
Yeah, and that's where the hope lies. And if we really care about somebody, and I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty. I understand we all
it's a human feeling. You
exactly.
can't deny that. You can't obliviate the suffering you feel.
Correct.
When you mourn.
But you think about, like you said, their happiness. That's a good thing. It's a day of celebration. And we're also, and we'll touch on this. We need to pray for them too. We need to do something for them.
Right.
And that's
something, you know, it goes back into history and into Bible history. Praying for the dead is something we've always done.
Exactly.
Because they do need our prayers. They're on a journey, but some of them aren't there yet. You know?
Right.
And we're going to talk about purgatory in a few minutes.
But. Excellent. Well, it is really great to have you here. I want to read the gospel now, and
sure.
I'm sure you'll have some comments about this as well. One of the reasons I like to do this each day on Spirit in the Morning is to help you to help you hear the Lord speak. A lot of times I'll hear people come up to me and say, the Lord never speaks to me. Well, he's going to speak right now, because as Catholics we believe that Scripture is inspired by God. So these are his words. This is his message for you today. Today's gospel from Daily Mass for the commemoration of All Souls comes from John chapter 6, verses 37 through 40. Jesus said to the crowds, "Everything that the Father gives me will come to me. And I will not reject anyone who comes to me, because I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. And this is the will of the one who sent me, that I should not lose anything of what he gave me, but that I should raise it on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I shall raise him on the last day." That is a really, really powerful message.
Absolutely.
Right, Deacon Rich? It's a reminder that, first of all, what I like about this, and, you know, you can look at so many different takeaways, as we used to call them in the business world when I worked in the
in the
so IT,
you're in
industry.
IT as well.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. So we have something in common. But the first takeaway I get from this is Jesus is always doing the will of the Father. So if we want to imitate him, that's what we should be doing as well. But this desire of the Father for all of us to have eternal life with him in heaven, that's beautiful. And that's uplifting, isn't it?
That's his goal for all of us. You know, I always say, you know, Lord wants the very, very best for us. And what's the best for us is to get to heaven. That's where he wants us. This world, you know, can be a beautiful place, but he never promises us that this world's going to be fantastic.
Right.
You know, he promises where the eternal life with us is going to be fantastic. And so sometimes we lose perspective of that. We get so tied up in our problems of the world today, and you think that this is the only world there is.
Exactly.
And all the problems are real and permanent, and we're forgetting where he wants the best for us. You know, he wants to get us all the way to the end, all the way into heaven.
Yeah. And you, look, you're out in the working world. You understand there are a lot of challenges. Let me ask you, Deacon Rich, to put you on the spot here. How do you deal with it? How do you keep focused on what lies beyond this life, on the eternal perspective, as you go out and you get bombarded with the day-to-day struggles?
Yeah, well, I think it's, you know, listen, if you want to have a relationship with a person, you have to talk to them, and you have to listen to them.
Right.
And if you want to have a relationship with God, you have to talk and listen. And I think an active prayer life is one of those most important things that it lets you have that relationship. You have to talk. You have to listen.
Right.
And that means you have to be in dialogue. And, yeah, there are times when I'm focused on my work and I'm not thinking of the Lord at all. I'm thinking about the work, right?
Right.
But throughout the day, I'm taking little God breaks.
Yeah.
And just recentering myself. So, okay, this is important, but, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's not that important, right?
Right.
So it's a difficult thing. You can get consumed. I do believe in, you know, a prayer life that I go to Adoration Chapel a lot.
Wow,
Because I need that quiet. I need to, like, separate myself from the world and no noise and just, you know, the Lord and me. And so I can hear, I always say he talks in whispers, right? He doesn't yell at us. He whispers at us. And we have to be able to be quiet, whether external or internally, but quiet in our soul so that we can hear what he has to say.
And you used that word process before. This is what I found, and I'm sure you do as well. It's a process. You get to know him a little bit more each day. And over time, I struggled with this frequently. I would get through the whole day and say, wait a minute, I didn't think about the Lord at all. But I find the more you get to know him, the more you speak to him, the more aware you are of his presence, even as you're doing your work,
right?
Those little glimpses of him and those reminders that, hey, if it wasn't for the Lord, I wouldn't be able to get out of bed today.
Right. He's always there with us. And even, you know, sometimes if you're not actively thinking in the Lord, if you're just doing your work faithfully, you know, living out your faith in your work, that's prayer too. You know, that's making good decisions that are just and sound and moral decisions in the workplace is a way to, you know, to live your faith and pray as you're doing your work.
Exactly, because that's where he wants most of us. We're out in the world, we're going about our business, and we're really bringing Jesus to the people around us, our coworkers, our friends, our families, whoever. And that's one of the great things that I like about doing this show. That's the purpose of Spirit in the Morning. We're trying to remind you of that fact and help you to realize that, yeah, we get it. You're out in the world, you're going to have challenges, you're going to have temptations. But let's try to imitate St. Peter when, at least at the first part, when he tried to walk on the water, he kept focused on Jesus, and he said, I can do this. He starts looking at the waves, and he began to sink, right?
And we all do. We all start to sink. I mean, that is such a perfect analogy for our life as Catholics. And, you know, we try to follow, and the waves beat us up, and they smack us around, and we start looking down, and we can get in trouble. But if we stay focused on Christ, then we know, you know, one of my friends is a priest, and he has this homily about, you know, bumpy plane rides. And he always say, God doesn't promise you a smooth flight. He promises you a safe landing.
And, exactly.
And I always remember that.
That's really good. And today we celebrate All Souls Day. So this is the reminder that, yeah, we've all been promised. We've been redeemed by the Lord. The gates of heaven are open. Now it's just up to us to cooperate with the grace that he gives us to get there. And that's the challenge. It's one day at a time, right? We fight that battle. And we'll be talking throughout the hour about purgatory, about the importance of praying for the dead, cremation, all of those fun things that are going to lift you up. But listen, trust me, it really is all good news. I'm Gary Zimak. You're listening to Spirit in the Morning. My special guest in studio today is Deacon Rich Napoli, the spiritual director for Holy Spirit Radio.
Yes.
So that's so cool to have you with me here. If I get in trouble,
I'm going to be writing you up. I'm taking notes here, Gary.
That's right. I got my safety net today on Spirit in the Morning. Currently, the time, Spirit in the Morning wake up time, 7:13. Today's weather, 53 degrees at the moment at the Philadelphia International Airport. Today, it's going to be mostly sunny with a high near 71?
Yeah, well, you bet.
Is this November weather, Deacon Rich?
I'm not complaining.
That's right. Tonight, going to be partly cloudy. Tomorrow, showers likely, and then possibly a thunderstorm after 5 p.m. It's going to be a high near 78 tomorrow. So that's a great... This is going to change quickly, Rich, right?
To reopen the pool here.
Yeah, exactly. But we're grateful to have you with us on the program today. We have lots of good music. We're going to take a look at some interesting articles that I found on the internet. One is the recent Vatican proclamation about cremation. This is something that many of us don't understand. It can be a little confusing, but we're going to try to bring some light to that topic today. Then we're going to look at five myths about purgatory that too many people still believe, maybe even you. We'll see about that. Gary Zimak along with Deacon Rich Napoli. Your wake-up time, 7:14. Get the coffee going. We're going to be here for the entire hour.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for November 2nd. Today is the commemoration of all the faithful departed. The Church has long encouraged prayer for the dead as an act of Christian charity, but today's Feast of All Souls was slow to be formalized. It wasn't until the middle of the 11th century that St. Odilo, abbot of Cluny Monastery in France, decreed that his monks offer special prayers for the dead on November 2nd, one day after the Feast of All Saints. From there, the custom spread and was adopted throughout the Roman Church. Although graveside food offerings for the dead and other pre-Christian superstitions clung to this observance, more religious customs surrounded as well. Public processions or private visits to cemeteries and decorating graves with flowers and lights are appropriate ways to remember the holy souls. In Mexico particularly, All Souls Day or Day of the Dead is observed with great fervor. Few people achieve perfection in this life, but rather go to the grave still scarred with traces of sinfulness. Some period of purification may be necessary before a soul comes face to face with God. The Council of Trent affirmed this and insisted that the prayers of the living can speed the purification process. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Is found, and He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Ooh. Oh, till he returns or calls me home. And here in the power of Christ I stand. Here in the power of Christ we stand.
And that was In Christ Alone by Christian Stanfill. I'm Gary Zimak. You're listening to Spirit in the Morning on Holy Spirit Radio, your wake-up time right now, 7:22. I want to mention also, first of all, I want to thank you for the many emails that you've been sending in. I really appreciate it. It's good to know you're out there. You know, we do this show every day. We always hope that you're listening. And boy, I'll tell you what, the comments have been all great. Thanks for letting us know that you're listening to the program. But I want to know more. I want to know about you. I want to know where you're listening from. I want to know how we can better serve you, because we're doing this to try to help you start your day off in the right way and to keep you focused on the Lord. My name is Gary Zimak. You can email me at gary@holyspiritradio.org. And by the way, everything we talk about today on the show, including all of the songs that will feature, all the articles, everything, the Be Not Afraid Bible verse, we have them all linked at spiritinthemorning.com. So if you forget, and there's a good chance you will, because you could be driving, you could be busy, you could be making your coffee, whatever it is, if you forget, check us out at spiritinthemorning.com. And also let your friends know that we're here to help you start your day off the right way. We're the only local Catholic morning show in the Philadelphia area. How cool is that? I think it's about time that we did this. So Holy Spirit Radio, thank you for making that possible. My guest in the studio today, Deacon Rich Napoli, he's sharing some advice with us. We're talking about purgatory. Now, Deacon Rich, we have an uplifting show here. Purgatory is not the first topic that comes to most people's mind.
Right.
Correct?
But it's also, it is uplifting because, first of all, if you make it to purgatory, where you're going.
That's right. Exactly.
That should be a moment of rejoicing, because we in the Catholic tradition believe that some people, you know, die and go directly to heaven because
right.
they live such a pure, chaste, holy life.
Right.
Our saints and martyrs typically, you know, get a pass straight on through.
Right.
Some are destined to hell for the life they've lived and their failure to seek repentance. But for the vast majority of people, we're going to fall somewhere in between those two extremes. We're going to end up in a place for a little while called purgatory.
Right.
And what is that? I mean, it comes from this notion of the word itself, purgation. You know, purgatory is from purgation, which means a cleansing, a purifying, because only souls that are pure can stand in front of the Lord and stand in heaven with him.
Right.
And most of us, me included especially, you know, we're not pure. We're sinners. We need some process that's going to prepare us so that we can stand in front of the Lord in heaven forever.
Right.
And that's what we call purgatory.
Right. And that inclination to sin, that tendency to maybe hold a grudge or something, if you and I, we passed away right now, we're being judged, that's still there. That somehow has to get purified right before we can enter heaven.
Good point. So even if you, you know, you have a confession moments before you die, and your soul is pure of all its sin, you still have, we're human. We're created as fallen creatures. We still bear the marks of that original sin. We still have the concupiscence. We still have that tendency to sin.
Right.
And our motivations and all those things are still there. Those are the things that have to be cleansed and purified. Even though our souls may be purified from confessions,
right.
we still need to be purified of our inclinations.
Right. But there is hope. It's a good thing. And with that in mind, I found an article on the Church Pop website. We have this link at spiritinthemorning.com. I wanted to just, with Deacon Rich, talk about some of these five myths about purgatory. And this is a really good article because it's simple and it addresses some real concerns. Myth number one, purgatory is a second chance at salvation. What do you think about that,
Deacon? Yeah, right. So, you know, some good thinking people that just don't really understand what we've been taught and what the church teaches. That somehow some people think that, all right, if I make it to purgatory, then I still You know, if I, you know, maybe I wasn't destined for heaven, but right. I have this in between spot, and I can work on it and get my way into heaven.
Or it's good enough. Like maybe it's not great. It's not, you know, purgatory, but it's not a permanent state. Is that that's correct? Right? If when we right. get judged, we're either going to be sent to heaven or hell. We might have to stop in purgatory for a while.
That's right. There, I mean, your judgment, your specific judgment, comes at the moment of your death, and you go. Heaven or hell. Purgatory is just the lobby while you're waiting for the elevator, you know, on
right.
the way to heaven.
Right.
I mean, you're going to heaven. You got to go through this process first, but you're going to heaven. And there's no way that you can be in purgatory and end up in hell. If you're in purgatory,
that's good.
Right,
that's
right.
a good thing.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing. And so the notion that you can earn your salvation after you die in purgatory is not what we teach at all. Some people get confused because We do pray for people in purgatory so that you can sort of accelerate their entrance into heaven, their
right.
time, the shorten the time in purgatory. But you can't change. You can't pull somebody out of hell and pull them into purgatory. You can't take somebody from purgatory and put them in hell. Your judgment is secured at the moment of your death.
Right, right. And it's good to know that. And these myths, I've heard just about all of these, and it's a good idea to really, I think, bring them out in the open to talk about them. The second myth about purgatory, Deacon Rich, we hear this one all the time. Purgatory is not in the Bible. You Catholics, you're making stuff up that's not in the Bible. But it really is there, maybe in a subtle form, but the basis for purgatory is biblical.
Sure, sure. But, you know, let's go back, before we even get into the specific on purgatory, the notion that, you know, we believe things that aren't in the Bible. If you want to help our Protestant brethren understand that, you know, we believe what's in the Bible is true, yes, but we also have a second source of truth, and that is sacred tradition.
Right.
That has been passed down. Not everything, as even John says, not everything that happened in Jesus' life is written down. Some of it's passed on orally. So, for example, the best example I love to give is the Trinity. Do you ask any Christian, do you believe in the Trinity? Oh, of course. Where is that in the Bible?
All right, and we're going to get back to this. We're going to a break now. We're going to get back to this on the other side. Stay right where you are. We'll talk about more myths about purgatory. Gary Zimak, Deacon Rich Napoli, you're listening to Spirit in the Morning.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. The sprint to next Tuesday's Election Day finish is well underway as Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton spend their last days on the campaign trail. Trump spent yesterday in Pennsylvania and Wisconsin, promising to get rid of Obamacare if he becomes president. Clinton, who campaigned in battleground Florida, attacked Trump for what she said was his history of degrading women. It'll be another rough day today for commuters in Philadelphia as some 4,700 public transportation workers strike for a second day. Buses, trolleys, and subways shut down in the city after there was failure to reach a contract agreement. The strike wasn't supposed to affect commuter rail lines and service in areas outside the city, but the transit agency says striking workers yesterday blocked some regional train crews from reporting to work. And it's winner-take-all in Cleveland tonight when the Indians and the Chicago Cubs fight for the World Series championship. The Cubs won last night, and so the teams have won 3 games apiece. So Game 7 is it. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
If you ever need home care or companionship service, call Angel Army at 215-805-8433. Angel Army provides compassionate and loving care to those who want independence and the comfort of their home. Angel Army serves Bucks County, Montgomery County, and the Philadelphia area and can be reached at 215-805-8433.
You're listening to Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. In 2011, University of Southern California filmmaking student Brian Ivey started working on his Christopher Award-winning documentary, The Dropbox. It told the story of Pastor Jong Rak Lee of South Korea, who built a Dropbox for unwanted babies into his home and church. The reason was that many babies born disabled or to single mothers in Seoul, South Korea, were abandoned on the streets to die because the culture often views these things as shameful. With a heart full of love for these children, Pastor Lee and his wife started taking them in, finding them homes, and even adopted 18 themselves. To date, over 600 babies have been saved because of Pastor Lee's efforts. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
It all. Sometimes I'm reckless and act like I'm made of steel, but I'm just flesh and bones, a product of the fall. Still I have purpose, and this I know to be real. Life is precious, life is sweet, like the earth beneath my feet. Though I know I'm passing through, I know I belong to you. Life is precious, life is sweet, and it's true. Jesus died for me. Life is precious. Life is precious. Life is sweet. I can't see past myself when I get depressed. I take for granted this life you've given me. There are a million ways. I've been so richly blessed. I can't imagine not being able to see. Yeah, life is precious, life is sweet, like the earth beneath my feet. Though I know I'm passing through, I know I belong to you. Life is precious, life is sweet, and it's true, makes it complete. Knowing Jesus died for me, life is precious. Life is precious, life is sweet.
How's that? Did that get you going? Life is Precious by Wes King. Boy, that's a great reminder for all of us. I'm Gary Zimek. You're listening to Spirit in the Morning, joined today by Deacon Rich Napoli. Before the break, we were talking about this article from Church Pop, and we have it linked on spiritinthemorning.com. Five myths about purgatory that too many people still believe. But, you know, during that last song, Deacon Rich and I were talking, and we realized that many of you are affected by the SEPTA strike, right, Rich?
Right.
It's going on right now.
You're walking, or you're waiting for a regional train, or you're driving and stuck in traffic.
That's true. So we're here with you. We're here with you to try to make your commute a little less uncomfortable. But let's pray that that situation can get resolved quickly. That's really, really painful. That can really affect a lot of people.
Oh, sure. So many people depend on it. I mean, Mass Transit is a wonderful service, and you take it for granted sometimes, and then all of a sudden something like this happens and throws you off, and certainly changes your morning routine, and hopefully you won't change this part of your morning routine and continue to listen to us. But it can be tough. Sure, I grew up in New York, and you know, we had lived through a couple of transit strikes there, and it's just everything's a mess.
Yeah.
And so good luck to those of you that are struggling.
That's right. We're going to try to keep you as uplifted as we can as you make your way to wherever it is that you're going today. And if you're not going anywhere, then hang out with us. Right. That's fine. We're continuing on with this look at myths about purgatory. Myth number three, Deacon Rich. Purgatory is a way of being saved apart from Christ. Ever hear that one before?
No, that's I saw that one. It's like,
yeah,
I haven't seen that one. But, you know, of course, we know that, you know, all salvation comes through Christ. And
correct.
He is the only source of salvation for us. Purgatory isn't a way for us to get the grace of Christ in an extended way. We actually don't know how long purgatory is. You know,
right.
It could be a second. It could be 10,000 years. You know, we really don't know the length of it. But it is... part of Christ's plans. It is mentioned in the Bible, as we talked about before. We didn't get to it.
But oh yeah,
in 1 Corinthians 3.
Yeah, do you want to back up and talk?
Yeah,
Saint
Paul describes a period after death, but before heaven, in which Christians are purified with fire, and that's what purgatory is. You know, that is that period where. Many times, you know, with fire, is it accurately fire or not? We don't really know what purgatory is, but certainly. Fire is a good imagery of that purification. Anytime you want to purify something, you heat it up, you boil
right.
it. You know, you put your pacifiers in boiling water to purify them, right, for your kids. So there is that notion that it is an intense process. Probably, you know, maybe with fire, we think so, but certainly it's in the Bible that there is this period after death.
Right. Now, no discussion of myths about purgatory would be complete without bringing up indulgences, right? Indulgences are a way of buying salvation.
Yeah, right. And well, you know,
we've heard it. Right?
We certainly, as a church, we had, you know, a period in our history where, you know, we took the concept of indulgences too far. I mean, you know, one of the challenges I think the Catholic Church faced for many hundreds of years is, you know, we were a religion, but after the fall of Rome, we were also the only institution around that could govern. And so we wound up getting dragged into, you know, the politics of the day. And good men in the church had this concept of indulgences. They needed ways to raise money for the church, and so they wound up getting into this absurd practice of selling indulgences. And so everyone, just so you know what an indulgence is, it's just the church from its treasury, if you will, it's a spiritual treasury, is allowed to dispense grace and on behalf of Christ. And an indulgence is a sort of a, you know, we have them in the business world, incentives, bonuses, whatever you want to call them,
right.
as a way to incent you towards the behavior that's going to lead you to heaven. So that was the concept of an indulgence, and then it got abused. But you cannot buy your way into heaven, whether financially or there's nothing you can do to earn salvation.
Right.
Salvation is a gift that's given to us. None of us deserve it. And indulgence is just a way to, you know, help you maybe relieve some of the temporal, the time period that you'll spend in purgatory. The church can grant that. But as a way to motivate you towards a better spiritual life. Not as a way to buy yourself.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. But we do hear that sometimes from our well-meaning non-Catholic Christian brothers and sisters. But it's good to know that we as Catholics need to know what we believe, and this is challenging sometimes.
Right.
The final myth, Deacon Rich, praying for the dead is a late medieval corruption of the faith. What about this practice of praying for the dead? Is this some recent invention?
No, it's been around, you know, goes way back to the Jewish times. You know, if those of you have ever traveled to Rome... you know, and visited the catacombs, you know that that's where the Christian church first did its masses, you know, in the catacombs, on top of tombs,
right.
You know, as a way to honor the dead, as a way to pray for the dead. And
right.
that's been a longstanding tradition that we can pray for those that have gone before us that are in purgatory and ask God to, you know, reduce the time that they spend in purgatory so they get to heaven faster.
Exactly. And that's one of the great things we can do and should do, not just today on All Souls Day, but every day for your deceased loved ones. Why don't you say a prayer for them today? And if they are in heaven, Deacon Rich, those prayers won't go to waste,
right?
The Lord will apply them where they're needed.
Apply them where they're needed. You know, talk about incentives. One of the best incentives to pray for people in purgatory is when they get to heaven, they pray for you.
Very good point.
And they intercede for you on behalf of you know, through Jesus. So it's you're multiplying your chances by praying for them. Not only is it a great thing to do for them, it's also a great thing to do for yourself.
Exactly, exactly. We don't want to forget about them, so say a prayer for your loved ones. Even if you think they're in heaven, don't make that assumption. Because, and I'll say this publicly, I was on the Sunrise Morning Show on EWTN before this program, and I said, listen, if you hear that I die, please pray for my soul. Because,
right?
I don't want anybody to assume that I'm, well, you know what? I don't think anybody's going to assume that I'm in heaven, Deacon Rich.
You said it, Dick Gary.
Well, as long as we're talking about these things, I want to briefly touch on this this news item. This was in the news last week. It was all over the national news. The Vatican, the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, released an instruction last week regarding burial and cremation, reiterating. So this is nothing new. This is just reiterating the church's teaching that cremation, while strongly discouraged, can be permissible under certain restrictions, but the scattering of the ashes is forbidden. What's going on here, Deacon Rich? Is this just the church trying to control us? You know, is the church trying to be restrictive? What's the big deal?
Yeah, I saw some of the, you know, the social media responses to all that, and they're like all over the place, like, oh, the church just wants me to force me to have an expensive funeral and all this kind of stuff. It's like, no, you have to step back a little bit and understand, you know, that the we as Catholics, we believe we are, you know, created by God, both body and soul. We're not a soul within a body waiting to be freed.
Right.
We are body and soul together, always. And, you know, even in death, when there's a time period, we understand that when our souls are moving on towards heaven, but our bodies have not been resurrected yet until the last day. You know, there's still this notion of you have to respect that body that is part of a creature that is, you know, was created by God. And even though there's a period where the soul and body are separated, that body still needs to be treated with dignity and respect. It's part of a special creature called human beings.
Right.
And so we honor that by basically saying in most cases, unless there's good, you know, sanitary or economic reasons, we say inter the body out of respect for the body, because it is part of a holy creature.
Right.
And so that's the norm. We believe that, you know, we bury them, knowing that one day the body will rise, of course, in a very different form than when it's there, but it will rise. Cremation is something, as I said, you know, we deal with, because in some parts of the country, it's just physically impossible to bury somebody, like down in Louisiana and stuff, and even in Bermuda, they really don't have the ground that can support it. The water table's so high, and so on.
Right.
You could endanger the water. The cleanliness of the water.
Sure,
so you have to take other things, and sometimes that means cremation. And of course, you know, the Lord can do anything; He can resurrect a cremated body as well. But
and that's good to remember, because sometimes we think that, well, if the ashes are burned, he can resurrect a non-cremated body. But well, we can't have a glorified body if the ashes are existing. But no, yeah, he can do.
I mean,
that.
He created us from nothing, so
exactly,
he can recreate us from our ashes.
Right.
But the point is that even those ashes need to be treated with dignity and respect. They are part of, we have body and soul.
Yes.
That body, even though it's separated from the soul for the moment, that body still needs to be treated with dignity and respect. And that means buried ceremoniously in a gravesite. It does not mean, and that's what this writing was all about, because since this first came out, you know, when we allowed cremations in the at the Vatican II, it's become a lot more popular. This was just a way to clarify their teaching on it. It says, look, you can cremate if you have to, but put it in the ground. Don't put it on the shelf. And there's Uncle Willie over there on the shelf.
Right.
You know, don't put it on your jewelry. I got Pop here in my on this little amulet here. You know, that's denying the dignity of that body.
Right.
Even though it's cremated, it's still to be treated with reverence.
And that's a key point. That song we just played by Wes King not too long ago, Life is Precious. That's what this is all about. Recognizing that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit and we are created in the image and likeness of God. So if you want to read more about that, visit spiritinthemorning.com. We have this article linked. We have the article about the myths regarding purgatory linked as well. You can find it all there. Coming up after the break, we're going to look at our Be Not Afraid Bible verse of the day. Deacon Rich Napoli and I are hanging out, talking about all things Catholic. It's really great to have him with me in the studio today. Please keep in mind that if you have any comments about the show, send them my way. Gary@HolySpiritRadio.org is my email address, and I'd love to come out to speak to your parish. So I am in the Delaware Valley. I speak at parishes all over the country. I would love to come to your parish to spread the good news. It's all good news. Jesus didn't have any bad news, even though sometimes we look at the world and we start to think, hey, this is really depressing. The world's depressing. No, it's just how we look at it. It's all positive. We just got to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Your Spirit in the Morning, wake up time, 7:46. It's 53 degrees. You know what that means. It's time to get up and get at them. We'll be back.
More enjoyable than Scrapple. Spirit, Spirit, Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
I look up to the mountains. Does my strength come from the mountains? No. My strength comes from God, who made heaven and earth and the mountains.
Sickness, my brokenness, all on your shoulders.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek. That was Shoulders for King and Country. That's a great song, isn't it? It's a reminder that the Lord's picking us up on His shoulders, man. He's carrying us. He's helping us to get through the day. Sometimes we forget that. We're not doing it by ourselves. He's with us at every moment. 7:52 on Spirit in the Morning. Before I get to my Be Not Afraid Bible verse for the day, I want to share an email. I'm confused here. We got an email and I'm excited. It's from our mutual friend, Roger.
Yep.
Here's what Roger said. Awesome to hear two friends speaking about our Lord and our faith on the radio this morning. I might add that Gary, you can leave. Deacon Rich is doing fine. Wait a minute, Roger, that's not. What's going on with that? All kidding aside, brother, thank you for listening. Roger's a mutual friend.
Yeah,
good
great,
guy, right?
Great friend of mine. Has gone through several. We run that Christ Renews His Parish program,
right?
And he's been a part of that. And he's just a great. He's out there evangelizing, street corner evangelization.
He sure does.
He's an amazing man.
Yeah, brother, keep up the good work. Thanks for listening. Hope to catch up with you soon. Roger and I get together for breakfast sometime or for lunch.
Good.
We'll have to do that again soon. All right, let me do this Be Not Afraid Bible verse. This is what we do every day. This is part of my specialty. I speak a lot about overcoming anxiety, and I think this day, as we commemorate the souls of the faithful departed, this is a verse that really, it makes me feel good, and I think you'll enjoy it. It's Revelation 21:4. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death or mourning, wailing or pain, for the old order has passed away. And we will have that linked at spiritinthemorning.com. Deacon Rich, that's a reminder that this life isn't all there is.
That's right. We're so forgetful of that at times, that we get so wrapped up in our worldly issues. And, you know, this is the proving ground. This isn't the finish line.
Yeah,
you know, this isn't
yeah.
the end point. This is where we're tested and formed and molded so that we can get to heaven and enjoy an eternity there. This is not eternity. This lasts, you know, 70, 80, or maybe 100 years if you're really good.
Right.
But then You got trillions of years after that
right.
to deal with, and we tend to lose sight of that.
We do. We want to hang on to this life sometimes, even though it's not that much fun sometimes, but we got something much better awaiting us. We just make it to the finish line in one piece,
yeah,
right?
Run the race, make it to the finish line, and you know, eye has not seen, ear has not heard what God has in store for us, you know.
That's right.
For those who do love Him. So.
Amen. And by the way, you wanted to mention one thing before we leave about
having
to do with the Year of Mercy.
Yep. You know, Janet, my wife, as you know, is on the air every week. She sent me a new little text. She's listening to remind us that we talked about indulgences. And again, indulgence is, you know, is an incentive for us, and the reward is that it reduces or eliminates some of our time in purgatory. And a plenary indulgence is a complete remission of our temporal punishment, the time in purgatory. So there are ways to earn plenary indulgences, and one of the easiest ways right now that Pope Francis set up for us this year is in this Year of Mercy.
Mm-hmm.
There's a plenary indulgence if you pass through the holy doors. There are many holy doors, not just the one in Vatican City, but right here at the Shrine of Częstochowa, there's a pair of holy doors.
Right.
That if you go to confession first and have a remission of your sins and then walk through those doors, you get the benefits. This is one of the dispenses of the treasury of the church, to give out an indulgence to which removes all, you know, time in purgatory.
Right, and it's a great gift. We might as well take advantage of it, right?
Advantage of it.
Hey, I like free stuff, Deacon Rich. You know, this is a great act of mercy that the Lord's giving us.
And again, it's an indulgence. It's an incentive, right? Because the church knows that by doing that, you are, you know, you are preparing. You have to go through a cycle to be prepared to walk through those doors, and that's a good thing, and that will help lead you to heaven anyway.
Right, and it's one of the ways the church helps us, to give us a little incentive to do something that we should be
doing.
But I like things that feel good, so, you know, if I know I'm getting
something
out of it,
right?
That's right.
Who doesn't like a good deal?
Oh, man, this has been fun. I can't believe we're just about finished.
I know,
time went fast. You need to come in every day. You're fun.
That'd be fun.
I am Gary Zimek. You're listening to Spirit in the Morning. We are just about out of time. But before we let you go, Deacon Rich is going to, in a couple minutes, lead us in prayer to close out the show. I want you to keep your dial tuned to Holy Spirit Radio. I mean, I know most people don't have a dial anymore, Deacon Rich. It's an old term, right?
That's right.
But stay tuned here, because we got lots of good programs coming up. As soon as we're done, we're going to send you to the EWTN Network for Daily Mass from Birmingham. After that, Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Lots of good shows throughout the day on Holy Spirit Radio. This station was very, very instrumental in my conversion. You heard Deacon Rich's story. I mean, this is a lifeline for so many people.
So many people. I mean, so many men I met in the seminary told me, I'm here because of Holy Spirit Radio.
Praise God for that.
Both the diaconate and the seminarians. Yeah, it's just a beautiful, powerful display of the Holy Spirit.
Right. So be uplifted. Continue to listen to Holy Spirit Radio. We all know that there are problems in the world. We talked about that. But if you spend too much time focusing on the problems, if all you listen to is secular news, guess what? You're going to get depressed. Because that news, it's first of all, it's not the complete story. The complete story is that God's bigger than our problems, and He loves us. And no matter what happens, He can bring good out of it. Deacon Rich, if you wouldn't mind, would you lead us in the closing prayer?
Sure. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Merciful Father, hear our prayers and console us as we renew our faith in your Son, whom you raised from the dead. Strengthen our hope that all our departed brothers and sisters will share in his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit. One God, forever and ever.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Deacon Rich, we're just about out of time.
Thank you so much. I had a delightful time here.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun with you today. You're a fun guy.
Enjoying it.
This is great. And I want to let you know that tomorrow on the show, we have Father Michael Callahan coming on. He's the preacher for this year's Solemn Novena at the Miraculous Metal Shrine. He's going to be joining us. We have some music. We're going to take a look at the story of a homeless man who protected the keys of a motorcyclist. It's a really interesting, uplifting story that we'll share tomorrow. Friday on the program, we've got Tony Manja coming on. We're going up north,
nice
North
Irishman,
Jersey. That's right. Tony's going to give us a look at the connection between food and faith. So we got that coming on. Next week, we have Tony Rossi on Monday from the Christophers. You hear him every day for the Christopher Minute. He's going to be coming on talking about how we can all make the best use of each day. That's something I think we forget sometimes. God's got a plan for us. He's got something for us to do today. And as I always say, even if you can't get out of the house, you can do plenty. You can pray. You can make a phone call. You can send an email. You can offer up your suffering. You can do something to give glory to God. For Deacon Rich Napoli, I'm Gary Zimek. Thanks for listening. God willing, we'll be back with you tomorrow.
Thank you, Gary. God bless you all.